This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
It's Family Matters on Joy 94.9. The combination tonight is David, that's my voice, and Beck, you're doubling up from Stand Up Straight.
I am. People can't get enough.
And our very lovely producer,
hello.
Gina Barina.
Gina Barina, who is staying in Melbourne, and we're going to hear why I'm staying in Melbourne and you two are heading up to Sydney.
Because we're that exotic.
You are that exotic. I'm a little bit boring.
Now, a few months ago, I don't know when it was, but we interviewed Karen and Megan from Parents of Gender Diverse Children.
How fun were they?
Oh, they're fun.
They were fun.
Are you talking about after hours or during the show?
Both.
But tonight we have the dads.
Ooh.
So cue the dad jokes, cue the Triple M song list.
Dads rock Family Matters.
That's great. If you want to get in contact, you can text it on 0427 joy 949 or you can email on air at joy.org.au.
Yeah, if you've got some dad jokes, I'd love, because Dave and I have got some dad jokes, and even Mark from the Bears has got some dad jokes he's going to share.
Dad jokes.
Actually, that's a really good one. Text in your dad jokes.
Yeah. 0427 Joy 949. You won't win anything, but we might all have a laugh.
You'll win our love and affection.
You know what? I'm going to throw it out there. You can even call in your dad jokes, and I'll answer the phone. 1300 Joy 949. I can run to the phone, can't I, Beck?
Sure, why not?
And Beck, we're going to talk about our trip to Sydney this weekend for the AFL Pride game that the Chicks Talking Footy crew.
Well done, Dave.
You tell us.
Oh, we're talking about it now.
Just a little snippet. Give me a little snippet.
Well, all I can say is tune into Joy from 6 till 10 on Saturday night and hear Chicks Talking Footy live from the SCG.
You are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. Family Matters on Joy 94.9. It is our very lovely producer Gina, Dave and Beck in for tonight's episode. And we've got a jam-packed episode, mind you.
Sure do.
It's the dads of the parents of gender diverse. We've heard from the mums, now we're going to hear from the dads.
Parents of gender diverse children.
Oh, have I started? Megan and Karen are going to kill me.
They are
those
watching from outside.
Those mums gave you one job before they left the studio. Get the name right.
I know. Anyway, text in. We're going to be talking about talking to the dads soon, but we want the dad jokes, don't we?
We do.
Really want the dad jokes. Text in on 0427 Joy 949 or you can email on air at joy.org.au. I'm going to open the batting with a joke.
Okay.
Oh, God, here we go.
What time did the man go to the dentist?
I don't know, Dave. What time did the man go to the dentist?
Tooth hurty.
Oh. Wow.
So, following up from that one,
Joy News,
I've
Gina.
Got one for you.
Oh, you got one?
I'll try and improve. What do you call cheese when it doesn't belong to you?
Oh. I don't know, Gina. What do you call cheese when it doesn't belong to you?
Nacho cheese.
Please.
I'll find the applause in a second.
I think it was slightly better than Dave's. Like, if I'm doing an assessment.
Yeah.
And if you're driving right now, please, we beg you, keep it on Joy 94.9.
Pull over if you're laughing too hard to be safe as well. No, sorry.
I think that's unlikely.
Just a bit. Dad jokes, they're not meant to be that funny. That's kind of the whole
traffic
point.
Traffic update.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. No cars have pulled up.
Now, Jeannie, you've got some very important Joy news.
Look,
some rainbow news.
Some beautiful rainbow news. Now, a couple of weeks ago, you would have heard our interview. You should have heard our interview or caught up with it on our podcast, but we spoke to Tristan, who was 37 weeks pregnant, and Tristan is a trans man, and him and his partner Biff were pregnant with a baby, and they have given birth
9.5 pounds,
21.5 inches. Is that big, heavy? I don't know.
9.5? I wouldn't want that coming out of my vagina. I'll give you the big tip.
Okay, this show's getting deep.
Well, congratulations to Trishan and Biff on the safe birth of baby Leo Murray Chaplow. What a cool
name. Yeah,
no. Leo Chaplow. And
I've got a joke with my friends when people have a baby. Yeah. If we like the name, we go, oh, yeah, I'll buy it a present. And if we don't like the name, like of someone's baby that we know, we're like, oh, no present.
Oh, so friends of Beck.
Yeah, watch out.
If you have no gifts.
It all started when my friend suggested she was going to call her baby Axel. And I said, I'm not buying you a present if you have a baby called Axel. So now it's just a joke. But Leo, I would buy a present for Leo.
Leo's a great name. Mm,
DiCaprio.
Like Leo.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're going to ruin it now. Oh, Da Vinci better.
Is it Leo star sign at the moment, this time of the year?
I'm thinking Leo the lion kind of
Leo Barry, brave. Sydney Swans Premiership hero.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway,
that's right.
Well done.
Trish, what other news have we got, Gina?
Congratulations. Now, there is somebody very important, well, there's some people very important that are celebrating their 25th birthday.
Part of our extended family here on Family Matters?
Yeah.
I thought it was me because I'm only 25.
Yeah, clearly. Moving on.
Wow.
Plus 11.
Plus a bit. 25, our beautiful friend James from Proud to Play and his twin. I think it's his birthday as well. Yeah, he had a twin.
We think it's
Do your research.
But you know who they share a birthday with?
Oh, let me have a guess. I'm going to have a random guess here.
Pulls a car
Each other?
Can I have a guess? Is it bananas in pajamas?
It is B1 and B2.
Are they
bananas.
Twins as well?
I think they're twins.
Do they have
James? Are you starting to think that maybe James and Seb are the bananas in pajamas?
Gina needs
I'm
a holiday.
I think Gina doesn't know what twins are.
Happy birthday to Proud to Play CEO James Lollicato, who's going to be a guest on Chicks Talking Footy's Pride Game broadcast on this Saturday at 6 o'clock.
He will.
Now, tell us more about this Sydney trip, because clearly I need a trip. I can't get my
words
out.
You need something, Gina.
But I'm not going to Sydney.
So we will be in Sydney, the Chicks Talking Footy team, broadcasting live from the SCG. I like to say it like that. And we will be on air from 6 till 10, so tune in to Joy. We are interviewing the who's who, Gina, of the LGBTIQ AFL community.
Can
you have some names? We've got the CEOs of both St Kilda and the Sydney Swans, Matt Finnis and Andrew Ireland.
Ooh.
We've got Jason Ball, who we all know. We've got Emily Rowe, who's a transgender footballer. We've got Angie Green, amazing advocate.
I do like Angie.
We've got comedian Adam Richard, who we love.
Yeah, we love him.
We have got Maverick Newman, who's a cabaret star, whose brother plays for the Sydney Swans. You name him.
My goodness.
We've got them.
That's the thing. Were you a bit nervous going, Melbourne, everyone's in Melbourne, and this is up in Sydney. Were you a bit nervous that you might not get the same sort of...
We were, but there's amazing people up in Sydney.
And there's so many names that Beck hasn't named that are still, you know, I can't wait to hear what they've got to say as well.
I think we've got about 30 people over the course of 4 hours, so...
But also, if you're not in Sydney and you feel a bit left out, a bit of FOMO from Gina maybe, you can head down to the Ice House. Melbourne Mustangs are holding their first inaugural. That makes sense, doesn't it?
It's like the twins with the same birthday.
Ice hockey pride game.
Oh, see, I'm not going to miss out.
Yes.
Yeah, go down there, get the skates on. Yeah.
Puck homophobia.
Love it.
That's the hashtag.
No,
yeah.
Really, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And our good friend Roy Allen is dropping the puck, which I understand is something very important.
Mighty Ducks, Mighty Pucks. Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
I know. So there you go. There's a lot of sporting pride going on this weekend. We have had some good messages.
Nice.
The first one just says, we love dads. So
yes, we do.
Yay. Always nice to meet the fans, boys. and the other one says, dad jokes are not funny, but then they followed it up with a joke. What do you call a fake noodle?
What do you call it, Beck?
An imposter. I like that, actually.
Wow-wee.
Anyway. Please help us. Message in more dad jokes, better dad jokes on 0427JOY949. Please quickly pull over. Just text me.
Or email onair@joy.org.au. Coming up after, it is the dads, Scott and Michael. They're going to come up and,
Dads of?
Parents of gender diverse children.
Yay, well done, David.
You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
The kids are all right. As for our presenters, Family Matters, Joy 94.9.
My name is Joe Garte, and I live in Brooklyn, New York.
My name is Wayne Mains, and I live in Portland, Maine.
My name is J.R. Ford. I live with my wife, Vanessa, in Washington, D.C.
I'm Keith Thompson, live in Winterville, North Carolina.
When Pinnell came out, I was just so excited to have this little girl. It was that feeling of, there's just love here.
And I think if once you hold that baby in your arms, you just want to love your babies.
I first started noticing something different about Ellie when she was in preschool. It wasn't until right after her fourth birthday party that she said, I'm a girl.
So Penelope had a conversation with Jody after a meltdown and said that everybody thought she was a girl. And Jody said, okay, but you can be whoever you want.
One night, driving back from someplace, asked if he could get a binder. I said, well, what do you want a binder for? Well, because I want to transition. Transition? What do you mean? Well, you know, become a boy. That's when I felt the needle scratch off the record in my mind. There were a lot of thoughts going on for me. I had to deal with the loss of my daughter.
All this stuff that's going on now, we lived this back in 2011. Their solution, it was more than just bathrooms. It was everything that you do at school was different, and she was isolated. You don't want to put your kids out there, but these young people have powerful voices.
Being a dad, you know, you tend to internalize a lot of the feelings and emotions because it's the role that you have assumed that you have to be the strong rock of the family.
I don't think that the father's perspective is seen often because we're often the second person to know. It doesn't mean that we don't play a huge role in how that child is raised.
Ever since Sky came out to us as trans, I, in the back of my mind, had these little moments of darker thoughts that would crop up about some of the negative things that you are likely now going to have to deal with. What are your peers and your friends going to say to you?
We are concerned about her safety as she gets older. Suicide rates for transgender teens, it's above 50%. The only way to try to mitigate that is to continue to educate, you know, people, schools, administration, about what are the issues when you are excluding a certain group of people.
Anytime there's, you know, vitriol and bile that blows back from parts of society or in the media or in print or whatever, or even just peers, that takes a toll.
As a parent, you know that every single child is completely different.
This is a family transition, and that's what it needs to be.
To have Ellie kind of as a beacon in our family is really helpful for making our family tighter, making her community around her tighter.
I hope he can continue to be happy in his own skin. And if he's not there yet, I hope he gets there.
The one thing I want Pernod to always know is that his family's always here.
We're at the beginnings of what I hope is going to be seen as a change in perception. And it won't be a big mystery for much longer.
Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
Thanks, Dave. You're with Beck, Dave and Gina. That audio you just heard there was from the USA Dads for Transgender Equality, saying some beautiful words, standing up and speaking out in support of their trans kids. Those were the American dads, but we've got our own now. We've got our own Australian dads in tonight. Tonight we have two of the dads from Parents of Gender Diverse Children. The mums have let us have the dads tonight. And we've got Michael and Scott here. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Don't be scared.
Not at all.
So tell us a little bit about your story, your child's story.
Okay. This is Michael, and my beautiful transgender child is Lottie. Lottie started, I guess, expressing, you know, that she was not of her biological gender probably as soon as she could start to vocalise, you know, two and a half. By the time she was in kinder, she was... going in skirts over her clothes, didn't like having her hair cut, and transitioned in prep.
Okay. And were there early signs, did you know, as parents, did you notice early that there could have been, like, how, when did you find out? When did you sort of...
Okay, so Lottie used to get presents from family and friends and be so not into them because they were gendered toys.
Just your typical... Like, yeah, Tonka trucks or something? Or
Exactly, a Tonka truck. What am I supposed to do with this? I want a doll.
Yes, exactly.
And, Michael, when did you think this wasn't just Lottie, I guess, maybe wanting to wear girls' clothes, that it was something more than that?
I initially thought it was a phase, and, you know, I wasn't particularly worried about it because I really thought it was going to be a phase. When I realised that, you know, it wasn't, and that she was, you know, absolutely serious that she was a girl. It was a change of mindset for me, a little bit of a shock, but certainly, you know, accepting. And then it was a matter of becoming educated and, you know, being the best dad I could for Lottie.
It was slightly different for me.
And Scotty, just tell us a little bit about your story, your child's story.
I think really we noticed the obvious signs like you did as well. More feminine-related toys and feminism sort of behaviour, attributes. That wasn't so bad. It was when Megan and I sort of resisted for a few years because we didn't understand the process. And she hadn't been diagnosed, or we hadn't been seen by any professionals at that stage. It was when Evie really started to disclose some depression and started to really dig her heels in and say, listen, you got to listen to me. This is how I am. You got to accept how I am. So it got to a tipping point for us where we needed to act on it, and we weren't going to allow her to be depressed and not show her that we were supporting her. So that was the action that I guess both of us needed to identify that we've got an issue and then go and see some medical, some professionals.
And how do you know what to do for both of you? What do you go on the internet or what's the first reaction to go, where do we go? Who do we see? What do we do?
Well, for me, I had Megan and she's like an encyclopedia. So she did a lot of research that obviously I didn't do. I was working long hours at the time, and she really rang me up and said, look, I think, you know, Evie's got gender dysphoria. And I'm like, what's that?
Mm.
Like, tagged her. And I was sort of a bit shocked, and I don't like any tags personally. So I thought, I was a bit, oh yeah, how do you know that? And she went into all the attributes, and she said, she read a big column and said, she fits every single one. And when she did say it, I did agree, but I said, look, we need to go and see some professionals. So we went in and saw the people at the paediatricians at the Royal Children's, and I think that was for me the acknowledgement that from a professional level that she met all that criteria, and that's what I needed to hear. Like, we've got dedicated professionals who deal with this, probably world class, and so that was for me the acceptance I needed to move on with it and go, okay, right, what do we need to do now?
What were some of the advice from the doctors that made you feel a bit more comfortable that you've actually made the right decision and headed to the professionals?
I think was they put us on to safe schools for a start. They suggested that the earlier we do a transition, the better long-term. We don't have any long-term effects. Excuse me. So I think we went from that in a... Evie wanted to transition the very next day. You couldn't do it.
She was onto it.
Couldn't do it quick enough, whereas Megan and I were sort of resisting and trying to take our time and not rush into it, that we were doing the right thing and we had all the right advice and we were, you know, we wanted to do it properly without sort of missing anything, that, it, you know, we weren't going to hurt the process. So I think that's what we needed to do, and we needed to speak to school. The schools were the issue for us. Mm. At that stage, we're at a Christian college.
Well, we'll talk more about that after this. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. Family Matters on Joy 94.9. It is Beck, Dave and Gina tonight. And Beck and Dave, well, why do I keep talking to myself as a third person? We're in the driver's seat at the moment. And we've got our very good guests, Scott and Michael, in who are part of Parents of Gender Diverse Children.
Well done, Dave. You got it right. Scott, just before we went to the break, you were saying one of the first, I guess, challenges, for want of a better word, for you guys was the school with Evie and transitioning. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, we initially had a difficult transition period. We had all three of our younger kids at Christian college, and obviously with Christian beliefs it was a real challenge. It was presented with, and we sat down with the principal, and we'd never even heard of what transgender was, which was fair enough. A lot of people in the community didn't, and it was only new to us as well. So we explained the process, and that the advice we were given was to do a transition at school, and that safe schools were there to assist with that process. So initially, I thought we were going to, it was going to be quite a good, I had good feeling from it that we were going to get the assistance that we needed, but unfortunately it didn't work out like that, and there were some issues that were presented and the school wasn't there to support like we thought they were going to initially. So we decided the best way to move forward was to move schools, and we did that, and Evie's never looked back. We've had fabulous support from the school and parents along.
And in comparison, what's made you feel so much better about the second school? What's sort of the, what were the initial reactions?
They were so understanding. It was Megan and I went in to meet the principal and the assistant principal, and we were expecting a bit of an icy reception again, and we were prepared for it. And it wasn't that way at all. They blew us away. They were more than supportive. They said, look, we'll put in place a plan. We'll get the teachers together. We'll let them know, you know, what we've got here and how we can be to assist with the process. And not one issue.
That's amazing.
It's been incredible, yeah.
Michael, you were sort of nodding your head as Scott was talking. What was your experience with Lottie in school?
Karen and I had a kind of parallel experience. Lottie transitioned in prep. She started term one at one school. We'd spoken to the school beforehand, and we thought it was going to be okay. And I really got the impression by the time we transitioned Lottie, which was at a different school, starting term two, that it's all very easy for people to talk. It's not as easy for people to actually put what they say into practice. And it really needed to be led from the top down. The education department can say one thing, but if a principal's not really on board in person, it's not going to work.
Can you let us know some of the examples that you're sort of leading to?
Okay, so we had issues with, you know, the standard toilets.
Yeah.
You know, literally from day one. Lottie was told when she wanted the transition to go ahead and let her teacher know. And when she spoke up, it's, you know, I really want to go by my girl gender name. The principal turned around to us and said, not until we've got a birth certificate with a change of name.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and look, this really, Karen and I were gobsmacked because we weren't expecting this, especially when, you know, we'd gone to the trouble of trying to make this a smooth transition for Lottie. And Karen was incensed, and rightfully so. And we went and spoke to another primary school in the area, and it was an entirely different experience. The principal was on board, the staff were on board, and it was led from the top down. And I think that's really important.
And outside of the school system, were there any support services that you guys seeked at that time, if there was any available, I guess?
Well, this actually relates to what you asked before about, you know, where do we go for information?
Yeah.
You know, I went to the internet and you know, it was a bit of a minefield because, you know, what's the difference between gender dysphoria and gender dysmorphia? And it, you know, it depends on your take on the subject and where things are at.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the questions I was going to ask, was before your children transitioned, did you know any transgender people? Was it something you were familiar with, you'd come across, or was this a complete shot out of the blue of new information?
I personally knew, you know, transgender existed, but I'd had no personal experience with it whatsoever. So it was all entirely new ground for me.
Yeah, same with me.
So that's quite a learning curve then.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So what is some of the advice you would give to other dads that might be at the start of that process, or they might have an inkling about their children? What some advice could you pass on that might be really, really important that you may have wished that you had at the time?
From my perspective, it would be listen to your child. Don't let them get to a stage where they're depressed or they want to self-harm or anything like that. There's information out there. There are groups. There's like in the group our wife's run.
You just want me to say the name again, don't you?
What's it called,
can
Dave?
You remember? Parents of Gender Diverse Children.
Well,
that's
done.
It. Look, this is a fabulous network that I wish was really... Look, it probably did exist, but not in this context. And they're really getting out and amongst... from a personal perspective, I've spoken to another father over the phone. So I think it does help when you hear another dad say, yeah, look, I understand. You'll probably have issues with family members or friends, etc. But there are groups out there to help.
I'm interested in that you're saying about family and friends. What's it like going to work? I mean, and, you know, I'm looking at you, Michael, you're in your high vis. I imagine you work in a fairly male-dominated arena. I could be being stereotypical myself.
Very.
But you pulled out a pocket knife a minute ago to fix Gina's scarf, so, you know. But how do you go to work and have that conversation with men who I assume at some point knew you? You'd said, I have a son, and then you say, my child's transitioned. What's that conversation like?
I'm not at all ashamed or concerned about it because I accept my child, I love my child, and it's part of my life.
Mm.
And, you know, I bring my life to the workplace, and I think I have a reasonable expectation that my colleagues will be accepting or at the very least tolerant.
Mm. Yeah.
And do you think that maybe some of the resistance that might come from family, friends, colleagues might just come down to a lack of education and awareness?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. And you see yourself sort of maybe if you weren't parents of gender diverse children that you may be sort of, you wouldn't never really think about it, would you?
Yeah, if you're out of that circle and where the information flow is, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, as my comfort level with being, you know, the father of a gender diverse child increased, so did my comfort level with talking about it with family and friends.
Mm. Well,
and even strangers or even colleagues.
I was going to ask that because you're both really articulate about your child's experience. Is that something that you've kind of practiced, for want of a better word, that being articulate about, you know, gender, you know, the words and how you describe their experience?
My knowledge has grown, you know, being, you know, partnered with a wonderful woman like Karen who really knows her stuff and has gone out of the way to, you know, to make a change for these beautiful children. We talk about it, you know, it's just as everyone talks about their day. I talk about my work, she talks about her work.
Mm.
And it's a great learning curve and, you know, it helps bring me up to speed.
And that level of acceptance, that initial acceptance from you as parents, but then also from your wider family, how did that change the child, its emotional state, mindset? Was it an initial improvement straight away?
Two things I can say about that. We're really lucky with Lottie in that she knew from day one that she was a girl. And I can't remember the exact question or the context, but she said to my face and Karen's face once, but I am a girl.
Mm.
And, you know, that's always just stuck in my mind. She's always been comfortable and always believed she was. There was no... Yes, there was a transition for her in school, but in her own head, she's always been a girl.
Mm.
Now, dads are stereotypically overprotective of their children, always, in most cases. Do you feel that you have to be even more protective of your children?
Oh, look, if the circumstances were presenting like that, I guess so, but I don't go out of my way to be more protective because I haven't had the circumstance where I have to up to this stage, but I wouldn't think so.
I would use a different word. I'd call it being vigilant. I don't feel the need to be any more protective than I would have my other children. But, I really do keep my ear open if there's any sign of trouble or things that might cause trouble.
Mm. And do you feel in your position responsibility, I guess, to be advocates for your kids? I know your wives are out there, you know, banging the drum very loudly for gender diverse children so wonderfully. But do you guys feel the same obligation to stand up publicly in that way?
Yes. Yeah, it makes all the difference.
Yeah.
I think that's when Megan and I agreed to do that Channel 9 presentation. It was really to get the message out and help other families as well.
Yeah.
I tend to be perhaps a little more subdued. I'm more than happy to, but, you know, with what I do with work and I'm busy and what have you, I'm an advocate and I go out there when I need to, but I don't actually necessarily put myself out there.
Well, we're lucky to have you tonight then.
And also it's pretty hard to get a word in with Megan and Karen as well.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know how you'd have a chance.
And they're from parents of gender-diverse children.
They are.
We are talking to Scott and Michael as well, and we do have a few messages which we'll get to in a sec, but you are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Family Matters with any combination of Gina, Adrian, Michelle, David and Beck. Joy 94.9.
Family Matters, Joy 95 minus 0.1. What is it, Beck?
Right, we've got another message in with another dad joke. Dave, this is from Simo from the Paris end of East St Kilda.
G'day, Simo.
Simo. Why did the man steal a wig from the wig shop?
Why is that, Beck?
He didn't want toupee. Thank you, Simo. I like that.
I'm going to go one better. What's Forrest Gump's password?
What?
One Forrest One.
No. That's poo. That is a rubbish joke.
Why did the Clydesdale give the pony a glass of water?
Why, Dave?
Because he was a little horse.
Anyway, we've got two wonderful guests in here tonight who do not deserve to hear those jokes. We have Michael and Scott, who are dads from the parents of gender-diverse children.
Now, you can they're separate couples as well. Michael and Scott, not a couple as well.
Okay.
Just clarifying that.
Well, you know, any whatever. Okay?
Just ignore us. Does your role as father change to the child? Or
no.
Has it? No?
No. I now have, I'm now a parent for two girls instead of a boy and a girl. Two beautiful children.
Still the same job.
Yeah, I don't think it changes anyway.
And talking about families earlier, about telling families and friends, have you had any negative reactions in that area?
With family and friends?
Yep.
Oh, look, not really. We, Megan and I, when we sort of did the first, when we initially did the transition, we were prepared for a worst case scenario where we were prepared to lose all our family, all our friends, everyone. If anyone wasn't going to come and support us, well, we're going to wipe them. Mm. So we gave them an opportunity to either come on board or we were going to wave goodbye. And that's how serious we were. So.
And they stuck around?
They did. Yeah, everyone stuck around. They've been marvellous. Look, I guess we could probably be the lucky ones, I guess, but obviously there's some nightmare stories, you know, out there, unfortunately, with people who aren't supported, but yeah, we've been very lucky in that regard.
How did you guys cope? We've talked about the child, how you know, they sort of coped through that period. How did you guys cope as parents?
Honestly, I don't think my heart even skipped a beat. I did not find it at all difficult or unnatural. Look, being a partner to Karen, who, you know, takes calls from parents, you know, in the situation of kids that are gender diverse and or transitioning and all the related issues, I hear the horror stories. Mm. And look, like Scott, my experience was great. We didn't have any family and friends who we lost as a result. Everyone has been supportive.
That's wonderful.
And look, I think that's lucky.
Yeah.
It's not everyone's experience, but it's ours, and I'm really thankful for it.
You've both got other children. What's a sibling's experience like, do you think, when their sibling transitions?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. We were talking about that off air just before. I think my oldest girl probably got some negative feedback at school, at sort of gossip, school gossip, and things that started to chip away at her with, you know, snide comments and, you know, I'm not too sure the context of them, but I don't think they were too flattering, and she started to, you know, not enjoy them, obviously, and we had to deal with that with the school, and we eventually moved her as well, which was unfortunate because she was at the school the whole primary right up until, you know, into high school. So she had to, you know, move away from all her friends and people that we knew because we believed that they were going to have a negative impact on her schooling and, you know, and have an impact with her mentally. So we thought, no, we're not going to put her in that position. We're going to move on. And that's what we did. But at home, fabulous. Not an issue whatsoever. And the younger boys, we've got four kids, they don't know any different.
Yeah.
It'll be weird being anything other than how she is.
Now, children can believe basically anything in the playground. So the siblings, when they come home and say, you know, Mum, Dad, this is happening at school, how do you address that? What's the conversation like?
Oh, look, it depends on what it is, but we sit down and try and deal with it. I suppose there's common sense approach, I guess you could say, that we haven't been confronted with too many you know, hurdles at this stage. I expect them in high school, but primary school, it's been smooth sailing so far.
The biggest anxiety and issue that I can think of late would be last year when Lottie had some compulsory swimming lessons, and she was very anxious, and you know, so we did our best to support her. And look, my recollection is Karen actually went along to to help Lottie through that, and in the end, it worked out really well.
Now, your partners, Megan and Karen, have set up Parents of Gender Diverse Children, but there's also other organisations out there like Proud to Play that deal in that sporting space. How important are having organisations like that for, you know, people today?
They're crucial. Absolutely.
Yes, I agree. Lottie is not a sporty kid, but that said, in the wider context, I see how important it is.
I'm not a sporty kid either, so I understand Lottie's predicament. She'll grow up fine.
Thank you.
It's wonderful that you've got these supportive families and friends, but do you ever worry about things from the wider community? I mean, I think about things like Sam Newman's disgusting comments on The Footy Show, for example, a few weeks ago about transgender people and how those sort of things might impact your kids.
Yeah, I saw a really negative one when I was in Darwin a few weeks ago, and some professional, it was on Sky News, I think it was, or something similar, and I sort of screenshot it and sent it to Megan, and because I was pretty disgusted with the comments, not just because it didn't agree with how we were going, but they weren't, the comments were given by a so-called medical expert and who had not even anything relative in that field. It was another end of medicine, but they were using the doctor as though he was a professional in, you know, like a paediatrician or something, and it completely wasn't. It wasn't till later that I found that out. But, you know, these have such, you know, with a wider community, people believe that when they hear it and see it, and you see there's a doctor title there, so you think, well, he must know what he's talking about.
Yeah, yep.
At one stage, till he started talking, I thought he may have as well. But then when I said, talk to Megan, she goes, oh, no, I've heard about him, and
yeah, yeah,
had a lot more homework and knew about them.
There must be moments where you just wanted to scream out loud with anger with comments like that.
Yeah, I don't think they realise the damage they're doing. They've obviously got an, you know, people are entitled to their own opinion, and we accept that. That's fine. You know, you can't please everyone in the community, but it's just dangerous when you...
Look, I really wonder sometimes where it comes from. Is it ignorance? Is it fear? Is it phobia?
Do you think back
it's
to
really disappointing?
Do you think to back to the days where you guys were running around the playground compared to now in 2017? Do you think that attitudes have changed dramatically, and do you think attitudes are changing, like as of like 12 months ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
I do, yeah, for sure.
Yes, look, a lot of the gains are really hard fought and hard won, but you know, slowly but surely, you know, things are moving forward, and I think things are really looking up for the future.
Is there something that you guys and your wives as well are working towards? Is there something that you think is really important that's the next hurdle for transgender kids?
I can't really put my finger on anything in particular.
I guess it's just that ongoing understanding and education. And as you say, Michael, a lot of it is driven by fear and lack of knowledge and those sorts of things. I really think so.
It also comes down to your rule, Beck. You have a number one rule that is actually widespread across every single topic in the world. And what is it?
Don't be shit.
Yeah, don't be a shit person.
Yeah.
But if you're... What is your advice just for other parents in the playground, other teachers that might not be, you know, knowledgeable in these topics? What's your advice to them?
If you've got any questions, ask. Mm. Come and ask us.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I guess your initial feedback straight away was no from principals. No, that's probably the last thing you should be doing.
Yeah, principals are like anyone else. They might be, you know, the head of the school, but they're not exactly knowledgeable on until they've been given the information they need. They need to be educated as well.
I'd say ignorance is dangerous. Yep.
And how important is safe schools?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I've got nothing. I obviously, they've had some community backlash, and look, all I can say is our experience with them has been nothing but positive. They were so supportive to us, and, you know, like, we really appreciated the time and effort and, you know, the caring that they gave us.
And do you think made a difference to the kids' experience at school?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And to the teachers. Mm. They were there, a source of knowledge and support. And when we did do the transition, I don't think it could have went so smoothly without Safe Schools' involvement. Mm.
And I guess no one really understands that Safe Schools' involvement in all schools is actually life-saving. I don't think ever anybody really realises that.
Look, so much of the backlash is a beat-up.
Mm.
Because Safe Schools, to my best of my understanding, is there to be a resource to schools and teachers.
Mm.
They're not going in there teaching the students.
Yes, because they're going to make them all change their gender and all be gay. That's what they're doing.
And that's the beat up that I find, you know, along with the other dribble that went along with it, to be just so frustrating.
Because people aren't interested in reading facts. That's why.
Now we'll chuck
it doesn't sell papers.
We'll chuck up the information about how people can get in contact with Parents of Gender Diverse Children Facebook page on our podcast and on our social medias. Thank you very much, Michael and Scott, for coming in. It's absolutely been a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Family Matters with Beck, Dave and Gina. Dave gets upset when I do the introduction.
On Joy 94.9.
No, leave me alone. Now, we have had the wonderful Michael and Scott here, and we were just asking you about your relationship, for want of a better phrase. I mean, you guys didn't know each other beforehand. What's it like meeting other parents who are going through the same thing?
Well, for me, it was I wasn't looking forward to it, to be honest. Megan said, "Oh, we've got to get together." And I think it was the park outside the Royal Children's.
It was.
And we'd had I'd had some preconceived ideas. What are we getting into here? Is it going to be a group of weirdos or something?
Thanks, Scott.
I wasn't
Michael,
sure.
You've got less than an answer to rebut that. But less than a minute.
When we got there, it was just a real eye-opener to me that everyone was normal. We all had a really similar connection, I guess, with our children. But when you sat around and talked to each other, it was like, oh yeah, you know, Evie's like this, and oh yeah, yeah. We all had so much in common. It was crazy.
We dads who love our kids.
Yeah.
Aww.
Dads that love their kids. That's a great phrase. I like how we always farewell and thank our guests, but somehow they end up like...
We keep them.
I know. They turn their own microphone on.
That's
going
right.
On?
We turned it off.
We need to have our moment, our 40 seconds of humour.
That's right.
We did get a lot joking. Let's get this one
This
in.
Is Cam's amazing dad joke. A ham sandwich walks into a bar and orders a beer. The bartender says, "Sorry, we don't serve food here."
Lol.
Yeah.
I could find a special effect, but...
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of the funniest moment of the show, according to some, is Beck's little moment that she has. I disagree with it, but go on, Beck. You've got your moment. Have your moment. Go on.
Well, it is the lead-in to my good friends, the Bears. And tonight it is, woof, gravy is really nice on chips.
Oh, my goodness.
They're giving me applause.
Oh, my God.
The Bears love
another edition
me.
Of Family Matters in the bank. Good night.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.